Hallelujah. Father, we come to you this morning and again we open our hearts before you. We come as a people that are in great need of your visitation. Father, we stand in this hour of turmoil and warfare. Father, we stand in this hour of satanic wiles that men have never known upon the earth. We come before you, Father, as a people in great need of your visitation, that you would prepare us, Father, to stand mightily and then to having stood, to just continue to stand, Father, to realize that your grace is sufficient in the midst of all of the warfare. Father, to stand and declare what your word has declared. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver us out of them all, Father. And it is your word, and your word is our boast. Hallelujah. Father, your word is the anchor of our soul. Your word is the very foundation of our lives, and we proclaim it sure to a thousand generations. And so we come to hear from you this morning, and we come to stand upon that great rock. We come to stand upon the Word of God, the living Word, the written Word. That when the wind and the waves would come and beat against us, that, Lord, we would not even be shaken. Not only would we stand, we would not even be shaken. There would be no trembling. There wouldn't be one quiver, Father, as we stand mightily in the name of Jesus. And for that, we give you all the praise, Father, all of the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In James chapter 5, of course, a passage that we're all familiar with as we've been talking about the need for the church today to take up the full armor of God, to be able to stand in this last hour as Jesus is purifying his church, as we're being cleansed. He's coming for that church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We know that in that purging and purifying process that there is a war. There's a spiritual conflict going on for every one of our souls. It is Satan's will that none of you make it. And everything he can do possible to destroy you in these last days is being done and planned against you right now. Every person that he can bring across your path to discourage you, to speak against the Word of God, to speak against God, and especially in this topic that we're dealing with, the topic of prayer, Satan wants you. He will reinforce every thought that's ever been planted in your mind that God doesn't really answer prayer. What's the use of praying? I've prayed, and I've prayed, and I've prayed, and nothing's happened. He's the liar from the beginning and the father of lies. Amen? Amen? Because as we look at God's word this morning, we see the Spirit of God speaking concerning the great prophet and reminds us that the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men avails much. Amen? Amen. Your prayers are at work. Amen. Your prayers will bring the victory, praise God, if we don't faint. And there's the kicker. And so, you know, we live in a place today where we're so used to everything being done instantly. We want instant gratification. We want instant results. How many of you would die a slow death if you had to go back to dial up internet or whatever, if that was even the internet, I guess, back then? And we're a people that need to learn to wait. Amen. To wait on God. To be not only patient, but to be consistent. Immovable. Amen? Amen. Always abounding in the grace of our God. And so as we're called to war, this war in the heavenlies, and he's told us in Ephesians to take on the whole armor of God. And he says that in that armor we're to take the word of God praying. Amen? Take the word of God praying. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, that not only is it more effectual, but it in itself brings refreshing and encouragement when we specifically pray the Word of God. The Word of God is alive and it's powerful. Amen? Amen. This Word, when it's spoken forth, the Bible says very clearly, when it comes out of a regenerated heart, when it comes out of the spirit of a man full of the Holy Ghost, it's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Amen. The Bible says when we will speak the word of God and declare what God has declared about any given subject, when we speak the word of God as it pertains to those who might be our enemies, to those who are opposing the wisdom of God, the gospel of God, the very counsel of God, that it's like a fire that consumes the enemy before us. And so how we need to take time in His Word and to get before Him with an open Bible and get quiet and let God give you the Word that He wants you to regurgitate back to Him. To offer up to Him. Put me in remembrance, the Lord says. He doesn't have Alzheimer's. He hadn't forgotten anything. He said, I want you to have so real in your heart the Word of God, so alive that you would bring it up as a remembrance. Show me that you know what I've spoken. And I want you to know one thing very clearly, that every word that you speak is alive and powerful, and it will not return void, praise God, but it will accomplish that whereunto I've sent it. Amen? Amen. Got to have confidence in the Word of God. We've got to have confidence in our prayer. Oh, how tragic it is that so much of our time that we spend in prayer, we don't even believe there's going to be an answer. We pray to pray. We don't pray for results. Mueller, one of the great intercessors, and we know the story of his orphanages and how he prayed for years and took care of hundreds and hundreds of children who never went without. Oh, it came up to the last minute sometimes, but never went without, as God, through intercession, was moved to supply all of their needs according to his riches and glory. And Mueller was one that was very big on this. And Mueller was one that prayed specifically. He was one who kept actual notes of what he prayed because he wanted to make sure that what was happening, no one could ever say, and even his own doubting heart at times, that it was anything but God. Amen? Amen? This is what I prayed and this is what happened, praise God. Because God watches over His Word and performs it. Pray specifically. pray believing. We'll look at Mark 11 in just a moment, but that passage that the Holy Spirit, you know, brought to strengthen and energize our hearts. The Holy Spirit, you know, wrote that, by the way, not Kenneth Hagin. And Brother Hagin, known for that verse. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. Amen? When you pray, believe. Believe when you pray. Amen. And what things soever you desire, you shall have them, praise God. And we're to settle for nothing less. We're to expect nothing less. Whatever it is that you're praying for, every moment expect God to have intervened. Regardless of what circumstances might say. Whether that cancer appears to still be afflicting that body. At next glance, we expect to see someone whole and strong in the name of the Lord. Amen? We continue to declare what God has spoken. Regardless of what my eyes see. Regardless of what this body feels. I believe that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Praise God. I believe that in the midst of this need, that the windows of heaven will be opened and God will pour out blessings that cannot be contained. I believe that though the enemy has come at me in one way and seems to be overcoming, the enemy is coming as a flood. I believe that my God has raised up a standard against him and he will flee in seven ways, praise God. It's what I believe. Nobody can steal your faith. Nobody can steal your belief. If it originates in God and His Word. And so we see here in the James passage, in verse 13 of chapter 5, is any among you afflicted? You know, that term cracks me up. Yeah. But anyway, we got a lot of afflicted people, but you know, it's, he's speaking specifically of having to war against external pain and pressure and anxiety. You know, the affliction, there's no greater affliction than soul affliction. Torment. Fear. Emotional weakness and breakdown. Those fiery darts that are constantly being hurled at our minds, trying to bring us into a doubt of God's Word. Wanting to smite our hearts and get us to believe that our God doesn't care. You see, the devil doesn't mind if you believe in God. He just doesn't want you to believe your God cares. We see that in his temptation, don't we? Has God said? God cares. Amen.
Amen.
And because of that, we can cast our care upon Him because He cares for us. We're admonished to be careful for nothing but in everything through prayer, supplication with thanksgiving to let our requests be made known unto God. In everything with prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, Let our requests be made known unto God. We're talking about soul affliction. And then what happens? The peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Get before Him with your cares. Enumerate your cares. Speak specifically toward them. Let Him know where you're hurting, why you're hurting. And in the midst of all of the adversity, we cry out and bless His name. He said in that verse, with thanksgiving. Amen? Amen. We step back and we begin to look around us. And though these adversities might be true, we have so much to be thankful for. The environment of answered prayer is an environment of praise and making God big. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. Hallelujah. Prayer is just us being able to access God and have communion with Him. Prayer is being able to snuggle up with the Lord in the back of the boat. The attitude of prayer is one of we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon You. The attitude of prayer is that of young Joshua, who when everybody else had stuff to do, he wouldn't leave the door of the tent. He was waiting for that presence to show up again. Praise God. Anticipation. Expectation. At any moment, that prayer is going to manifest and God is going to show Himself mighty. Is any afflicted among you? Let him pray. Any sick? Call for the elders. The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. Confess your faults one to another. Oh, beloved, how we need to have no sin in our hearts. The ears of the Lord are open to the cry of the righteous, but those that are sinners, our prayers are an abomination to Him. What a powerful word. You know, praying to God with unforgiveness in our hearts, with bitterness in our hearts, with judgment in our hearts, is just as big a stench in the nostrils of God as homosexuality. We get all bent out of that shape concerning those kind of things. And God says the guy sitting in church is just as much an abomination to me as that man that's out there living this life of perversion and mocking my righteousness. It's an abomination. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. When you stand praying, and so we realize that to be able to come to God and to be able to access His presence requires a heart of brokenness and contrition. As it pertains to our own circumstances, and if we're going to be intercessors, as we've been talking about, to those of others. If you want to change your prayer life, start praying for others and not yourself all the time. Stop being so taken up with you and your problems. Begin to pray for those that, first of all, are your enemies. And then pray for those that God has placed upon your heart and given you compassion. We've been asking Him to give us a compassion for lost souls and for the community at large. And I believe God is working on our behalf. I believe we're going to see lives reached. Amen. People plucked as brands from the fire. But you know, this great refreshing from the presence of the Lord will start with just us being set free. With our priorities changing from this earthly kingdom into the spiritual kingdom. A treasure change and reprioritizing, if you please. And as he goes on in this passage, then he speaks toward this verse that we're all very familiar with. And he makes it very clear in verse 16 that as we confess our faults, as we pray one for another, that we could be made whole. This healing is iaome. So this healing is not just a physical healing. Iaome, we know, means to be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. We're praying one for another. We're praying one for another. We're praying that there would be a wholeness, a maturity that would come into our fellowship, a holiness that we've never known before, that purification of that bride that's without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You see, as we're looking outward to souls, we can't stop praying about our needs. Amen. Because the reality is those that we reach out and touch that would become a part of our community are going to end up like us. Now, the fact of the matter is people could do worse. The other fact of the matter is we can do better. Amen? Amen. And so as the Lord's working in our lives and he speaks toward this situation and he says it's the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men that avail much. The effectual, fervent prayer. That word effectual, and we'll look at it this morning in light of what we were just sharing, the need to pray the word of God. The word effectual means divinely energized. A divinely energized prayer avails much. Divinely inspired. Divinely motivated. That divine presence and power and truth of the Word of God that initiates the supernatural force into being. A creating. If it doesn't already exist, a creating of that that's needful at any given time in our lives. We limit God. We just so limit God. I was reading in one of the books the other day concerning, I can't remember, it might have been A.A. Allen or one of these, that the testimony of a guy that was driving down the road listening to the Word of God on the radio, on his car radio as Allen was preaching. And he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing in the atonement. And the man got so excited that he just pulled off the side of the road and didn't quite know what to do, so he just reached over and laid his hands on the radio. You know, Oral Roberts used to instruct people, you remember, come and put your hands on the TV set or whatever. It's just a point of reference. It's a point of releasing your faith or whatever. There's nothing necessarily tangible there. It's like when Dennis Bennett got fooled, I think it was Dennis Bennett, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he had been seeking God, and when it's going over to get a snack as he was in prayer and reached over and grabbed a hold of his refrigerator door, and as he began to open the door, God just filled him with the Spirit, and he began to speak in other tongues. So he started inviting people over to come and grab his refrigerator door handle. And you know what? People were filled. Because according to our... And so Oral Roberts used to do that. One of the first letters we ever got from Sword of the Spirit Ministries. I remember it very well. It's amazing. Here we started that ministry by faith, and I remember the very first letter that came in. First couple of days that the program was on, we'd go to the post office and nothing there. Does anybody remember the post office box? 377. Finally, that letter came, and it was a testimony. It was great. A guy was listening to the broadcast and hearing that word of God again, and it brought life into him, that word that healing was in the atonement. And he got so excited at what he heard, he didn't quite know what to do. And he had a relative that was living in a home behind them that was bedridden. I can't even remember what it was right now, but was totally bedridden. And the guy got so excited, he didn't know what to do, so he just grabbed the radio. Ran through the house, out the back door, into this guy's house, and just put the radio on him. And he was instantly healed, praise God. That faith was divinely energized. The word became so real in that man that as he went forth believing God, there was nothing that could stop that miracle from happening. That miraculous force against the enemy that comes forth through the power and the anointing of God. And so this man puts his hands on the car radio and God instantly healed him. He went to the next meeting and with him he brought his doctor to verify, and they brought x-rays. And as God touched that man according to his faith, as he was listening to the word of God, the promises of God, Isaiah 53 became real. It became truth to him over all things that nature was screaming out were impossible. That mustard seed faith, faith come by hearing the word of God, motivated this man. And the testimony was that as God healed him, he had lost one of his toes, I think, due to diabetes or something. In the process, another problem was they had to remove one of his lungs, and in the process of removing one of the lungs, completely removed three ribs. And he goes back into that meeting to declare the glory of God and the majesty of God as he showed the x-rays and then showed now that all three ribs were restored, his lung was recreated, and his toe was back, praise God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The only thing that hinders the miracles is that we don't saturate ourselves with this divine energy of the Word of God and hold it up against the circumstances and declare it as true. And as we're going to share some this morning, that need to if we don't see the instantaneous results, that need to not faint, that need to stand sure on the Word of God, that need of proclaiming what God has said, is the fulfillment of this divine energized faith that's so important in each of our lives. We quit so easily. We faint so easily. We get discouraged so easily. I know I do. I'm sure that some of you go through it. Those times of weariness, the times of doubt, the times of questioning timing and the wrestle at times, and we've taken so many hours trying to help our natural mind understand these things, but beloved, His ways are above our ways. Amen. And that's why over the years, through these wrestlings, through the scriptures, that we've made one determination. When I can't understand, the one determination I've come to through the scriptures is this, that God's good. God's good. His word is true, praise God. And as I've determined that, I've made one other determination, and that is, though He slay me, I'll serve Him, praise God, and I'll praise Him. So when this great prophet was moving, he goes on and he uses Elijah as an example. A man subject to like passions as you and I. We know that because we see his discouragements. Aren't you glad that God shows the discouragements and the failures of his men in the scriptures? You know, and tragically, many of us sit here and think we're the only doofus in the place that doesn't have it going right. But the fact is, everybody's in here is probably in the same condition you are. That's why James said a little bit earlier, confess your faults one to another. We need to stop putting on and let people know we're hurting and let people know what we need and what they can be praying for and to help lift up hands that are hanging down, praise God. Because the fact of the matter is there's nobody in here that's got it all together. We so need His presence. We so need His intervention in our lives. We so need one another's prayers. Amen? Amen. We don't need people criticizing us. We need people praying for us. Amen. Encouraging us. There was someone just yesterday after men's breakfast came up and said, you know, Pastor, I see something in the congregation that, you know, kind of concerns me and I wish that, you know, I could see more of this and more of that. And I said, you know, what you're saying is right on. And I said, you want to know what'll really be able to allow this then to start happening? You be the first example. Amen. You do it. And you know the reason I think people aren't doing it is because it costs something. Yeah, I know. You pay the price. You start. What you're saying's right. And then don't judge everybody else. Encourage them. And take them aside and try to show them how to do it, praise God. Fulfill Ephesians, having the same care one of another, amen. You know, it's very difficult to pray for someone and be critical at the same time. And as Father is wanting to encourage us into the unity of the church in Pentecost, that we would be of one heart and one mind, that we would be of one accord. Thus the admonition, when you stand praying, forgive. The admonition here in James, praying one for another. And so he talks about this man, Elijah, this man who faced doubts, this man who was discouraged because of the afflictions and the oppressions that were coming upon him. You know, these things that we see in these men, I mean, how can you have stood against the prophets of Baal and then just one threat and you run and hide and go into depression? You know, so often in our greatest victories, we get depleted. And we think then that we owe ourselves a break, and that's when we need to press in more and seek God. And get our hands strengthened. Because don't think for a moment that once you've done harm to the kingdom, that Satan isn't going to retaliate. And I believe that in Elijah we see some of that. And here's this great prophet of God that, having shut up the heavens by his word, that's powerful. According to my word. Does that sound familiar? Look on us. Amen. We're here representing God. It's not going to rain. James then depicts him as a great and mighty prophet, but who was a man subject to like passions. And he's doing that to say, God used earthen vessels here, and he's going to use you, praise God, if you'll let him. All that we would offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. Romans says it's our spiritual or our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. Proving what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I think we'll reach it this morning before we're done, but how vital that is before we pray to know what the will of God is. Many of us just start praying, my will be done. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Adverse circumstances come, needs arise, man, we just start praying, oh God. And many of us, because we're so knowledgeable of the scriptures, man, we'll grab scripture and we'll throw it on top of all of this. When we're talking about praying the word of God, we're not talking about concordance praying. We're not talking about just coming up with scriptures. The scripture bears power in a given circumstance through, and we know the teaching, I won't go into the details of it, but through the encounter and the audience to where God speaks now specifically a word to you. It doesn't start with us quoting scripture to God. It starts with God giving scripture to us. Amen. And that doesn't happen until we get quiet. And we settle down enough for God to say, now here's my will, and here's what I'm going to do, and here's the title deed. Here's the guarantee to that being answered. Or we'll say it the way the scripture does. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? The evidence, the proof. Already recorded in the heavens. When we begin to pray, we need to begin to see these things as God sees them as already done. To God, it's history. It's already happened. The eye of faith begins to grab a hold of those things and see those things that are invisible, that are eternal. They become so real that nobody could ever convince you. That it's already done in the heart and the counsel of God. And now all we have to do is just by faith rest in whatever time frame, method God reveals himself. And so as we see then this comment concerning the great prophet, he talks about that effectual, fervent prayer, that fervent prayer talking about being a prayer that is white hot, an earnestness that carries with it a diligence, an absolute commitment to its validity, it's a prayer that has a constancy or a stability to it, where there's absolutely no double-mindedness. Totally convinced. You know, like many of us come when we're stubborn and we're just convinced in our own minds to the place of don't confuse me with the facts, my mind's made up. Well, why don't we make up our minds about God's word being true? Amen? And don't allow anything else to change our thoughts. And so we see this effectual, fervent praying that is so necessary. This divinely energized, white, hot, consistent prayer. A prevailing prayer. A prayer that doesn't quit, that doesn't cave in. A prayer that doesn't vacillate. And I like one other thing that Mueller was talking about, this prayer that is so consistent with expectancy that time has no effect on it. He was praying for one particular situation, a man, I believe it was praying for some man, for 29 years. He said he prayed every day for this guy for 29 years. He prayed for him when he didn't feel like praying for him. He prayed for him when he himself was ill. He prayed for him. He never missed a day for 29 years. And as he was sharing this testimony, he was sharing with people and he says, and now I'm here to share with you that after 29 years and 6 months, I still haven't received the answer. But my testimony is this also, that in 29 years and 6 months, I have every day with the same expectancy arisen and expecting to see the answer at this moment. with the same anticipation and expectation that was in my heart the first day. Hallelujah. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. Wouldn't you like to be able to have that kind of communion with Father and a faith that is so absolutely fervent to the place where there's an expectancy, an anticipation. You all know what I'm talking about, where you're surprised if it doesn't manifest. That's the kind of faith that God's calling us to. And so as he's speaking to us here in James, that effectual, fervent prayer, that fervency comes from the audience with God. You know what it's like when the rhema's come to you. It just sets your heart on fire. When God speaks his word to you and encourages you in whatever it might be. When he encourages us in prayer. Amen. Call upon me and I will answer you. Hallelujah. You know, we take verses like that are so familiar to us and we lose the strength and the truth and the power of that. Did you hear what God just said? He said, call upon me and I will answer you. Well, hallelujah. Let's get calling. Amen. And I will show you mighty things that you know not. Some of the greatest truths lie in the most simple statements. And that 33rd chapter there of Jeremiah, that as we hear that, call upon me and I will answer you, in the simplicity of Jesus speaking when he says, ask and you shall receive. You know, we got this whole book full of promises and we've got so much memorized and we've heard so many sermons, but here's the reality: ask and you shall receive. Amen. Teaching on prayer is done. Seek, and you shall find. When you seek him with all of your heart, what's the scripture say? You're going to be found. He's going to be found of you. Knock, and it shall be opened. I don't think we're going to get there this morning, but we'll be moving into, I was wanting to tie together this need of that rhema, that divinely energized faith rising up in us. And then that consistency of our lives to where true biblical importunity becomes a part of our prayer lives. We're not bold enough many times. We're not persistent enough. And I'm not talking about persistence to where we think we're going to wear God down or... somehow manipulate him into doing our will. I'm talking about a persistence in pursuing his will. A persistence in coming to understand what it is that God is doing at this time. And I think we forget this many times. What he's doing at this time, not only about these circumstances that we're caught up in, but all of them are for a purpose, the preparation of our hearts to become more Christ-like. As you get ready to pray, And you're waiting for that rhema of God. Realize that in this process, there's probably going to be some heart issues that God wants to reveal to you in the process. Because you see, it's the effectual fervent prayer of a that avails much. It's not a method. It's not memorizing methods or just memorizing scripture. We can't pray effectually till we have a right relationship with God. Till we become sons of God. His ears are open to the cry of the righteous, but the wicked are an abomination. And so we see, you know, and so many times, we might think we're pretty righteous. Self-righteousness always thinks it's right. But in many of these circumstances, there needs to be a place of resignation to where when we're praying and seeking God and we're allowing Him to work these eternal things in us, that we would even then pray as our Lord prayed. I've brought these petitions. I've declared your general revelation. But not my will. Thy will be done. Because I know there's great and mighty things that I'm not aware of. I know that your ways are above my ways. Amen. So how do we pray in faith, knowing that God is not even capable of revealing all of His purposes and ways to us because the natural mind can't comprehend them? How do we pray in faith? The faith is in direct correlation to the communion. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will. Boy, that's been misused over the years, hasn't it? Now let's go back. If you abide in me and my abide in you, you can ask whatever you will that correlates with my words that abide in you. You can ask what you will. In other words, put your faith and your agreement upon what I've revealed to you as truth, and that's best for you right now. Like this. I sought the Lord thrice, and He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Amen? How many of you don't like that answer? You see, we can't pray in faith until we're praying ready to accept the will of God. We don't orchestrate it. And so even when we receive that rhema and regurgitate that word, we are still open to the fact that God can manifest it in any way and time that best suits our growth and the eternal good of everyone involved. See, our little feeble minds, it's always about us. When God's moving in our lives, I want you to understand something. It's touching lives all around us. Someone said one time, you know, when a person was talking about an experience that they had and it was an adverse circumstance, but in the process, the word, the gospel was able to be shared with some residual people around, and someone had said, well, you know, possibly this situation came about so that the people there could be ministered to. And the person responded and said, I don't believe that, because the Bible says this is what I should have received at this time. And God could have sent somebody else to that person and ministered to them. Oh, so now we're going to direct the way God answers His word and fulfills His promises. How can we pray in faith when we think God can make mistakes in how He answers His word and manifests His promises on our behalf? There is no praying without a broken and contrite heart, to where we come as the clay and He's the potter. There can be no effectual praying until we believe that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. And when we believe that, then as little simple children, we don't approach the throne with all of these things in our mind. Well, you know, God might do it this way. No, we come simply and just say what God said. Amen. He said, if I ask, I'll receive. That's just what I'm going to do. And you leave the rest of it up to God and just rest. We're only sharing all of these different aspects so that we can deal with this peanut brain that we have, that hinders us, it exalts itself, it's so haughty in the presence of God that we, you know, think we know. And the fact is, we don't have a clue what God's up to. Oh, we know what He's revealed to us in the Word as it pertains to redemption and our justification. We know the great promises that He's given us as it pertains to fellowship with Him. And but to come into this other realm, I'll just give you an example. What do you do with this guy's praying for it to rain because his crops are in need, and this guy's praying for it to not rain because he's going on a picnic? Who's God going to answer? And we'll start reasoning it out. Well, you know, the man that needs his crops, that's way more important than the picnic, so surely God would... Hey, don't wear your brain out, man. And don't try to justify in your mind what would be right. Can I tell you what I've seen with my own eyes in an answer to prayer? As we prayed at that, we prayed one time. It rained on that side of the fence and was dry on this side of the fence, praise God. Saw it with my own eyes. We sure want to limit God, don't we? As I've tried to think about, you know, is there anything too hard for the Lord? How about dry rain? Might as well just throw that out there. I mean, you know. Effectual, fervent prayer, divinely energized. Our faith comes from the Word of God, the Scripture says. We're out of time for this morning. We'll be looking as we go into the understanding of 1 John, that he says, if you ask anything according to my will, the need for us, if we're going to pray effectually, to come and understand what the will of God is. That's why we can pray with great confidence for those that surround us here, this community, for their salvation, that we can pray that they would be supernaturally drawn to hear the Word of God, that supernaturally we would have encounters with these people on a daily basis, that we could declare to them the love of God, that God so loved the world. Because we know the scripture says God's not willing that any would perish. Amen? Because God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we're moving on good authority there, aren't we? So we know that when we're praying, God, open doors of utterance. God, orchestrate my days so that I can get this gospel out. Lord, we're believing that somehow you'll give me a way to speak to my neighbors that I've never had before. Father, that you would give me great opportunity as I approach these people on the streets or I go up to their house. However you do it, I shared with you the other day as I was walking through one of the communities praying and people are out in their yards and I just walk up to the people and say, hey, I'm just walking through the neighborhood here and I'm just praying for God to show up in our midst in this neighborhood and to let people know the love of Jesus and that God has provided for our redemption and that God loves us. Is there anything I can pray with you about? And people are like, that doesn't happen every day. Lord, bring people out here. I started down this one street and nobody was there. And I said, Lord, get some people out in the yards, man. And people started coming out of their houses. Because he's not willing that any would perish. Because he's told us to go into all the world. Because he says he's given us power to be witnesses unto him. Believing for that transformation that the Holy Ghost can give us. The same Peter that a few days earlier denied Jesus and said, I don't know the man, stood boldly on the temple and said, I'm here as his representative. And it's his name and faith in his name that made this man whole. Praise God. What a transformation in a week. You think we can't change? How many of us need that new boldness this morning? How many of us need that new compassion? He was looking out for his own hide over here, and now he's willing to give his life, praise God. And they came together and counted it joy that they were willing to suffer persecution for his name's sake. Oh, dear God, we need that transformation in our own lives. To boast in our identification with him. To count it a privilege to be counted by the world as refuse. Because of our identification with him. Oh, Father, we just come and ask you to speak to us by your Spirit and through your Word and continue to work in our lives, Father. We've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Bride, clean yourself up. I'm coming soon. We've heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. You don't have much longer. The night's coming when no man can work. We've heard from your Holy Spirit, go into the world and preach this message, and I will confirm the word with signs follow. We've heard from your Holy Spirit to come into oneness and unity and love so that the world can believe that Jesus, you have been sent of the Father. Father, we've heard, but have we heard? We listen, but do we obey? We see the war. What have we done to prepare? We pray, but we don't believe. To believe is to act according to what we profess. Help our unbelief. Help us to put on this armor and pull down every lie of the enemy. You've committed before, you didn't follow through. God didn't answer you. God doesn't care. There's no need to be this militant. The kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Give me my mountain. Give us these souls, Father. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And let people see that we're different, and we'll give you all the praise, Father. We'll give you all of the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody next to you and say, the effectual fervent prayer avails much. Hallelujah.